extremely important point in the topic of Baal Talin. And the question is as follows. You know, this is the obvious question that we discussed. I did a job for you. Then I approach you, and I say, please pay me. So, right, and remember we discussed that you have to actually approach the person to get payment, because if you don't approach the person, it has to be like the Gemara told us, tavoy, you have to come and make a tefillah, you have to say, give me my money. Now,
that tavoy, even the time has, it's the end of the day.
Right.
So you still have to go, every worker's got to go and demand his money at the end.
That's an excellent question. It's an excellent point, because if you read the simple Gemara tells us that at the end of the day, you need to approach the balabayit, the employer, and you need to say, give me my money. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. However, it's a little bit hard to imagine that that's 100% accurate in today's daily business, because in today's daily business, what happens is, you get at the end of the day, it's expected at the end of the week. You pay automatically, and the person is you don't even pay. It goes to ADP, and they pay. So it's expected that there's no need for tavoy bizman hazeh. So, but on the other hand, we cannot go and make up our own halachot. We need to have a source for everything that we say. There's an interesting Chavetz Chaim in the Sefer Nesiv HaChesed, and the Chavetz Chaim writes as follows. Nesiv HaChesed is a footnote under the Sefer Avos Chesed. He writes a very interesting point. He says that if I approach you, and I just completed a plumbing job, and I approach you and I say, I come into your house, and you say, can I offer you a coffee? You say, yeah. I say, yeah, of course I would like coffee. Some cake, yeah, sure. And we sit around, and I drink some coffee, and I have some cake, and I tell you how great the job was, and then I walk out. But I never actually ask you for the money. So the Chavetz Chaim says that I was over in Baal Talin. Why? Because what did I come for? I came for my money. I was just Mishim Kisifisa. I was embarrassed to say that, please give me my money. But absolutely, you were over on Baal Talin. So that's what the Chavetz Chaim says. So we suddenly see an extension from the simple translation of Baal Talin to this case. So that's what we can extend. Now, there's a sefer called Pischei HaChoshen, which was written by Rav Blau. It's a very contemporary sefer, 10 volumes on Choshen Mishpat, written at Israel today. And he says that as far as he's concerned, his feeling is that when a person expects a paycheck at the end of the week, the same halacha applies. Because people in today's practice don't have to actually be teveit. He does add at the end two words, b'tzorach iyun. He can't say this conclusively because he doesn't have actual proof for it, but there's a very good chance to say that. And Alan, the logic is that you're 100% correct, that bizman hazeh you'd be over. But, you know, you can't say it 100%, but in all likelihood, it's correct. Now, the halacha which I want to discuss, which is a very important halacha on this topic, is we discussed that if you don't have the money, so you're not over, right? Because, as we said in the pasuk, it says, loy tolen pi'ilas sochi itcho, which means it's got to be in your pocket, with you. So I approach you and I say, can you please pay me the money? So you respond to me, I don't have. So the halacha is, you're not over. Now, this halacha will get us into a lot of trouble and it's going to be quite confusing. What does it mean that you don't have? What's the definition of not having?
You're in the bank, but you don't have cash.
You don't have cash, you have in the bank, right? You can go to the nearest ATM machine. You come home, you have a babysitter who just babysat in your house, and you're too lazy. It's 11 o'clock at night, you don't want to go to the ATM machine. So what does it mean not having? And let me ask you a question. If you do have, you have the money sitting in a CD, and you have to go to the bank, and you have to take the money out of the CD. So what's going to happen is you're going to lose the money. You have to sell some stock. Or, let's go a step further, you have metal in your house, you have to sell the lamps in your house. Where do you draw the line? You have a schoire, right? You have business materials. Do you have to sell business materials or not? Give them the second book, is the one that we're using now, I see, the second one, okay? So what's the answer to this question? What's called having and what's called not having? So the Chavetz Chaim first says, the first concept is that if I have a pikodon that's sitting in somebody else's property, and I say, you know what, when the person comes for his paycheck, I'm not going to pick up my pikodon. I have a certain item sitting in your house, but I can really come and take it any time. And now when you come for payment, I say, I don't have. So the Chavetz Chaim says, I was oivam baltolin. Why? Because there's a machaba in Simon in Chayshin Mishvet Simon Kuf Aleph. As a matter of fact, it's in Siv Dalet. It's the Rama. It's not the machaba. And the Rama says as follows. The Rama says that a pikadon birshusa demorei kaimi. The pikadon is considered in status, even if it's in your property, it's considered like it's in my property. So if that's the case, the Chofetz Chaim tells us, if I have a pikadon, I'm obligated to go and collect my pikadon and pay you. Or another case, which would be the exact same case. How about if I have a loan? I lent somebody money. I lent somebody $1,000. And now I owe a person $1,000. So there's two cases we can discuss. One is if the loan is due, and one is if the loan is not due. Now, if the loan is not due, there's really no way for me to collect the loan. But let's say the loan is due, and I could go and get the money. But I'm too lazy, I don't want to get the money. So the Chafetz Chaim says, in that case, I will also be over on the Issa of Baal Tolan. Now, the classic question which is discussed is as follows. I really need to pay you. My obligation, usually when you work for me, is to pay you Shava Kesef, or cash, right? I'm not supposed to pay you in materials. I'm supposed to pay you in cash. Now, what happens is, I only have a check. Am I allowed to give you a check, and now you will I not be over on Baltolin? So this really is a Mishnah. And the Mishnah says that for the Isser of Baltolin, you don't actually have to pay the person. You have to give him the ability to get money. Right, because the Torah says ve'elav hinoisias nafshoi, he's going to go home. He's going to want to buy dinner for himself. So how is he going to buy dinner? Now, if I give you a check that you could cash, that's like the case where Chazal tells us in the Mishnah of himchei etzel chenveni. When you gave him the money, in order that he should go to a chenveni to actually pick up the money. So let's discuss. So far as follows: if somebody has money, and it's easy for me, if somebody has my money in a loan or in a pikadon, I definitely am obligated to get it. If I have money in the bank, I'm also obligated to give the money. Clearly, you can't say I don't have cash, I only have a check.
That's an individual or are you talking a corporation?
You want to talk corporations? So we'll talk about that topic next. Okay, because corporations, it becomes a big issue. Who owes the money? Do I owe the money or does the corporation owe the money? The corporation itself, who is the corporation? So let's, you know what? I was going to talk about that further down the list, but we'll make that the next topic after we conclude. But first I want to establish what is called I have money. Okay, now, there's an interesting question. Let's say I don't have money, so I'll be halacha. I'm not obligated to give you the money not to be over the isur of baltalin. But how about if I can give you a post-dated check? Am I obligating, according to the halacha, to give you a post-dated check? So there, it's difficult to be mechayev me, because it's not itcha, I don't actually have the money.
No, but the way you said before, mm-hmm. that if you have something that the person can now take and go and get mm-hmm. money, mm-hmm. it should be mutar. So even if you have inventory.
So the Chofetz Chaim says something very interesting. It's a lashon of the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim says that if you have acholin dekaimi lemechira, if you have an item which is available, which is inventory, which is supposed to be sold, the Chofetz Chaim says you have an obligation to sell the inventory. That's what the Chofetz Chaim writes.
Sell it, or you can give it to him as payment.
Well, give it to him. You can't force him to accept the inventory. You can't force him to accept inventory. So,
but according to you, the way the rabbi translated it mm-hmm. is, he has to have the ability to get the money.
He has to have. So fine. Regarding the Issa of Baal Tolin, that's a bit debatable. But I'm really not focusing that much. I'm really not focusing that much now on that concept. I'm trying much more.
You're making him work again. You're making him do labor.
You can sell jewelry like that.
You're making him work again.
Again. I don't want to focus now that much on that point. I'm trying to focus now on the point, what is called itcha and what is called not itcha. What is called a person that's obligated to pay and not obligated to pay. Now, you went and you specifically discussed inventory. Inventory which is supposed to be sold. There's a much greater discussion in the poskim. What would happen if I don't have inventory, but rather what I have is metaltalin. Am I obligated to go in my house and sell my metaltalin? That happens to be a very debated point, big disagreement in the Achronim. What's the halacha in that specific case. I just want to quote to you. I wrote down in my notes, I don't know if I got the Gemara, the exact lashon of the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, because this is a fascinating Gemara, and I want you to think, you read this Gemara tens of times, and you never think to apply this Gemara to this story. Listen to the story the Gemara tells us. The Gemara tells us, in Masechta Shabbos, Kuf Chav Zayin Amad Beis, Masa, there was a story by Adam Echad with a person, Sheyorot Migalil Ha'elyoin, V'niska Eitzel Balabayis Echad Bedorim Sholei Shonim. Somebody went and he worked for an employer for 3 years. Erev Yom Kippur, after 3 years, Erev Yom Kippur, right? Remember the story? At the end you'll find out that Rabbi Akiva was the, right? And there's the famous Chassam Sofer quotes the famous Ramah Mipanu, that even though the Rabbi Akiva at that point was not yet the Talmid Chacham, but he still had good midos, right? That's why he became eventually Rabbi Akiva. This is a very, very famous discussion. Okay, so he says as follows. He says, Omaloi, after 3 years, he says to him, Ten li schori, give me my money, ve'eilech, and I will go, ve'ezayin es ishti ivonai, I will go and I will support my wife and my children. Omaloi, what did he respond? Ein li moyes, I have nothing to give you. Omaloi, so he said to him, Ten li peirot, right? Please give me peirot. Now, peirot already is, like you said, goods. That's what I would like. Omaloi, Ainly, I don't have that either. Hifshul Caleb Lachoyrov, he took his satchel, he put it on his back. V'holach bepachei nefesh, right, disappointed, he went home. La'acha haregel, after the yontiv, notel balabayas chori b'yodli, the balabayas went, took all the money, put it in his hand, right? Acha sha'ochi v'shosi, right, after the pleasantries, they ate, they drank. Okay, so he said to him as follows, b'shosha amati sha'inli, when I said I don't have b'mecha dashtani, right, what did you accuse me for? Amalei, shema, Pragmatia bizul. Maybe you found a good deal and you spent all your cash on the good deal. Mizdamna behen. All right, fine. That's the first Gemara. Then he said. Then what was the next thing he said? The next thing he said was that maybe you were magdashit, and that's the famous Gemara. So the Minchas Chinuch asks a very interesting question. The Minchas Chinuch says that one of the responses were that you might have bought pragmatia. You might have bought materials as a good deal. Mm-hmm. So if he bought materials as a good deal, why didn't he sell it and pay him for tolling? That's the Minchas Chinuch's question. The Minchas Chinuch wants to say that it could be that an outside good deal that you get, that you're going to sell for a good price, you're not obligated to sell. So just, it's interesting. Inventory that's kaimili mechiri, that you can basically get the appropriate price, you're right. But if you have inventory that's not kaimili mechiri, that's sort of, you're supposed to buy low and sell it high, and you can't sell high now, it's not necessarily true according to the Minchas Chinuch, you have an obligation. It's a big discussion in the Paiskim, what's the aloha by pragmatia? And similarly, there's a big discussion in the Paiskim, if I'm obligated to go into my house and sell my metaltlin. You have a guy that can't afford to pay $1,000, but he has $100,000 of metaltlin in his house. Is he obligated to sell that or not? And that's a heavily debated point, if he actually has that obligation or not. Now, but by far, what's the most fascinating question is, do I have an obligation to borrow money in order to pay off the Balchayv? Right? Now, before I get to that point, I want to just discuss one more point. Hakol Moedim, this is the Chofetz Chaim writes this very clearly, Hakol Moedim, that when you have a situation when you simply, you have a certain amount of laziness, you come home, you don't want to change a large bill, or you're going to lose, in his days, if you would exchange a large bill, you would lose a couple of dollars. Everybody agrees it's Baltolin. Now, which I want to point out, it's very hard to be over Baltolin for real. I just want you to realize that. It's really hard to be over Baltolin, because there are so many, you know, dikdukim and chilukim that we said, it's really hard to be over. But there's one case where it's got to be very easy to be over Baltolin. I'll say two cases. One is you come home, you took a babysitter, and after you took a babysitter, what happened? You don't have change. You owe this young girl $10, $20, right? And you only have a $100 bill in your pocket. And it's late at night, and you don't want to go to the ATM machine. It's 11, 12 o'clock at night. So that's a very easy way to be over Balton.
Well, so you asking her for change. You don't have it. Does that get you out of it?
The Chofetz Chaim says that if you have the ability to exchange that $100 bill, you have an obligation to do so. Look, you can say, you could say to the girl and say, look, I don't have change. Would you mind if I pay you tomorrow? And if she says yes, if you don't want to be concerned about the Lefnim Ashir Sadin that the Zohar HaKadosh, you know, spoke about, I can hear it. I can hear you're not actually over. But I'll ask you a better question. How about if it's not a case of a Godel, but it's a case of a katan or a ketana. Okay, as a babysitter, you can't always use them because they're too young, but you ask a child to do a service for you. What would be the halacha then? Right? You ask a child to, you tell a child, if you go to the grocery store and pick up a bottle of milk, I'll give you a lolly. And you don't pay the lolly. You don't think about it. No, you have a balton? Huh? That might be the only case that you can really easily be over balton. Yeah. You better give me something quick. Now, 1 second, but I don't know why.
No, he won't make you forget.
He might make you forget.
He will not let
me forget. But I'm surprised nobody's jumping on me. Who says that Mekotan is an obligation of Baltolin? Well, okay, we'll get to that in a few seconds. And I know, and I have to talk about the corporations too, so I have quite a few discussions to talk about. But 1 second, before we get to that, there's a question which the Chofetz Chaim mentions is as follows. If I have a situation where I can borrow money, but it's easy for me to borrow money, not like today where it's very difficult to borrow money. But I can go over to a person and borrow $1,000. Do I have that obligation or not? So the Chofetz Chaim says, yes, absolutely you have that obligation.
But
it's not itcha. Yeah. It's not itcha. Chofetz Chaim says that's called itcha. Because if it's easy for you to attain the money, that's called itcha. Mardi Chofetz Chaim. Okay, now the Chofetz Chaim now takes this from two possible angles. In the footnotes, he asks all these questions that you're asking on himself. And he has two possible angles. He says, and again, you got to really dissect this Chofetz Chaim, because you can come with a very strong argument against him that it's not itcha. The Chofetz Chaim says, the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Menachos, everybody knows the famous Gemara with Rav Katina, that do you have an obligation to be mechayv yourself in a mitzvah asay or not? Right? What's the famous question? Do you have an obligation to get a negative dalat kamfos? In order that, you should put on tzitzit. So what does the Gemara tell us? The Gemara says that in the rischana, in a time of anger, Hashem punishes for those that don't obligate themselves to a mitzvah asay. That's what the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Menachos. So the Chofetz Chaim says, here too, if you can easily obligate yourself in a mitzvah asay of b'yoyme tita en schoroi, so you have the obligation. But that's a very difficult line, the Chofetz Chaim, because if itcha parted you from the mitzvah saseh, who says when you get the money you become obligated in the mitzvah saseh, right? It's a little bit of it's a very interesting Chofetz Chaim. But then the Chofetz Chaim comes back and he says no. He says if the money is easily accessible, that might be called itcha. So it's not just obligating yourself in the mitzvah saseh, possibly you have a full obligation to actually go and pay the money. Okay, so that's for starters. I'm going to skip over this topic. I don't want to discuss that because I want to get to those other topics that we mentioned. I know we need to speak about corporations, but before we speak about corporations, let's speak about a katan. Take a look at the notes. You'll see a fascinating Rambam that the Chofetz Chaim brings a raya from a Rambam that when you do business with a child, you tell a child, go to the grocery store. It's page number four. I want you to see what the Rambam tells us. The Rambam tells us as follows. Kol sochir shesochre ve'edim. If you have a case where you took an employee with edim, v'tovayim, he comes and he's taveyu bizmanoi, in the appropriate time, which means not after the time that you were over on bal ta'acher. V'omer balabayis, and the balabayis says, nasati l'chos chorcha, I paid you. Right, vasochi, and the employee says, "Loi natalti klum. I didn't take anything from you." Tikni chachomim. The chachom made a takana sheyishba hasochi benekitas chayfetz. Right, this is one of the classic cases that who swears? The employee, not the employer. Why? Because we have a concept that since the balabayas is busy with his business, he's torid, and he doesn't have the mind to focus on who he did pay, who he didn't pay. So the halacha is that who pays? Who swears? The sochi is nishba v'notel, right? Usually it goes the other way. You nishba v'niftar. This is one of the classic cases that you nishba v'notel. Now look at the next line in the Rambam. Now I just want to stop a second, just for the clarification of what the Rambam. Why is there a difference if it's bizmanoi or shaloi bizmanoi? Because when it's after bizmanoi, you don't have that right anymore. Why don't you have that right anymore? Because there's a chazakah that the balabayit will not be over on Balkolin, right? So when it's before the Zman, what's the halacha? The halacha is that you assume that he paid him. However, since he's busy, so you allow the employee to make a shvua. But when it's after the time, then he can't make a shvua and take his money because the balabayis did not let the appropriate time pass and not pay. Okay. Now, zoktach the Rambam, afil hoya hasochir koton. The same halacha applies, even if the socha is a katan, a socha nishba v'noitel. The Ravid gets right away, screams at the Rambam. Now, he doesn't scream because he disagrees with the point of the Rambam that the Kotan has the same din as the Godel. The Ravitz problem is, he says, how could you go and place the obligation of a Shvua on a Katan? Right? Like, take a look at the Ravitz says, V'asogah sayikosah afilo yasoch ha-Kotan. Alois loshem v'tzotzi asogah zal. Omer Avrom, ein hadas maskemas holze. I can't agree to that. Shenim s'shvua le-Kotan. El yishpa balabayis v'afal pishar ein tfiyas Kotan klum. Fine. Okay, that's what the opinion of the Ravitz is. Now, says the Chofetz Chaim, take a look. The disagreement between the Rambam and the Ravitz only was regarding the Shvua, but Kotan can make it. But regarding the Halacha, to say if the Chazaka that the Balabayas doesn't pass the time of Baltolin, no difference, Kotan and Gadol. The Chofetz Chaim says, I have a clear Rambam and a Ravitz that say that on a Kotan you have an obligation of Baltolin. Pretty frightening thought. Okay, because, and I think this is, and if you take the Chofetz Chaim that said that if the child comes to you for payment, even if he won't verbalize it, but because he's embarrassed and he won't say it, so if you tell the child, go to the grocery store, buy me a bottle of milk, I'll give you a lollipop, then the child comes back and he says, here's the bottle of milk, and tells it to you 2-3 times because he's waiting for his lollipop, you probably won't even baltol mederaisa. Okay, that's amazing that of all the cases we discussed, all the business cases, with all the exceptions of when the time of payment is, and here, the lollipop, it's due and finished, you see? I want you to read this on the bottom. Take a look at this. He quotes this in the Nesivah Chesed, Perik Tes, Sif Kotten Tezayin, this is on page 4. He says, Kol Adinim, Degam Kotten Shaykh Boy, Shem Sochil, Inyin Baltolin, Mima Shakosav Harambam Perik Ralph, Mechaschiris, Kosok Shatav Bismani, Afilo Yasoch, Kotten, Ishba Benoitel, Mash with the Movazman, Nishba Balabais, Benifta, Hainim Mishim. What's the reason why the time has passed the Balabais? We'll swear. Mishim Chazokad, Ein Balabais, Oiva Baltolin, Kedisa Vigamora, Hare, so you see, the Gamba Kotten, Yeshba Mishim Baltolin. Valkane Loip Al Korchach Loip Palik arrived at the Leil the Rambam. What was this disagreement of the Rambam and the Ravid? El Bahod the Matal Al Kotten Shvua. How could you go and make a Kotten make such a Shvua? Avol Besfar Azu. But in this concept, Loi Metzini Mi Shayach Like All of Nobody Disagreed. Now read the next few lines of the Nesivah Chesed by the Dat. The Reisi and I've seen Anoshim people. They tell a child, I would like you should do something for me. And they promise them, they say, look, do it and I'll give something to you. At the end they gave them nothing. Now, don't think that there's a minimal amount. Less than
a pruta.
Now, by the way, even less than a pruta is a disagreement. The Ritva in brought in the Shita Miki Bet says, in Kufir Alev and Bav Metzia says, that less than a pruta is still an obligation. He learns it out from Sukkim. The others that disagree say that it's now Isav Baltolin, but an Isav Chatzishir. But everybody agrees that there's a Baltolin, either because of Chatzishir or because of Baltolin, less than a pruta. So this is something which you got to take very seriously. And I want to just add another point once we're discussing this topic. You know, I mentioned before that you have an adult and you say to him, you know, I have a problem now and I can't afford to pay you. You know, one of the classic questions that I get is a person's running a business and if he has to buy, he has a choice. I mentioned this. Either to buy inventory or if he doesn't buy inventory, he won't be able to pay the workers. If he pays the workers, he won't be able to continue the business. So what do you do? Firstly, there happens to be there's a chinuch that the chinuch tells us that if when you're going to pay, you're going to lose money because of it. Knows if you free up certain money and therefore you lose money, that obligation you don't have. The chinuch writes that's an exception to itcha. But on the other hand, it's a difficult shaila because I'll tell you why it's an extremely difficult shaila because maybe we'll discuss it soon. I'll show you the sources. The problem is once the person finished his work, he's sort of coining the money already. Because since he's right in the question is if before Tavoy in the final day, who gets the money, if it belongs to him or not, which I'll discuss soon. It could be it doesn't go into the technical Isur, but on the other hand, it's Osir. You understand? It might not go into the. There's five Shemus here, Gemara says you can be Ivan and Baltolin, but you're definitely not allowed to do it. Fine. But as an adult, you have an easy choice of going to the adult and saying, look, I have a problem. If I don't buy inventory, I won't be able to continue the business. So let me take the money and buy inventory, and I'll owe you the money, and I'll pay you next week. That's the logical thing to to do. But what happens when you have a katan? So you approach the katan, and what do you say to him? Would you mind if I tell you next week? There's no mechilat to a katan, right? You have an issue there, right? Big problem. And Chavetz Chaim says that this is a case, you're even Balton. You know, there's a famous story that once happened with the stipler. The stipler was a very old man.
Does it also, like the you said by the babysitter, she's 12 already. Does it, is she only doing it because she's embarrassed to tell you, listen, I really need the money? Does that...
The truth is that if it's a babysitter and you can easily get the money and you know she really wants it and it's just a matter of going to the ATM machine, you probably should do so. I mean, I have a babysitter that I use all the time. And I would probably use it one night and then the next night, you know. So that type of situation, so she knows I pay her. Maybe she's more comfortable. And if I give her the money, and she, you can do something else. You can give them the money and say, you get the change. And then if they want to give it back to you, you know, you have all these different options. But you have to think about it. But I'm just saying, by the katan, I don't know if they can be machal you in the first place. I was just saying, there's a famous story with the stipler. The stipler went once on the day of a child's bar mitzvah. The stipler went to the bar mitzvah to say mazel tov. Everybody was shocked. The disciple should go to the bar mitzvah. Why would the disciple do that? He was a very old man. He had to climb stairs. The story at the end was that the child was davening in the disciple's shul years earlier, and the child had a huge, big machzir. And the child was in the middle. The disciple went over to the child and said to the child, excuse me, Zman Torah lechud, Zman Tfilah lechud. We're in the middle of davening, put away the Gemara, you shouldn't be learning now. And the child went and showed the stipler, it's a machzir, it's not a Gemara. So the stipler realized he insulted the child. But on the other hand, you can't ask mechila from a child. Even if you do, who says the mechila works? So the stipler waited, and he made a note, the day of the child's bar mitzvah, and the day of the child's bar mitzvah, he went, he was an old man, he went to ask the child mechila for the act that he did. So I'm just telling you, this is the hardest case to say that you're getting out of Baltolans when you offer the child that lollipop. Now, let's talk about the big business. We want to get to the corporations now. Let's discuss the corporations, okay? Now, corporations is a big discussion. You know, it's a very complicated discussion, which unfortunately, you know, lately you deal with these questions. If you have a corporation, but the corporation can't afford to pay everybody, right? Mm-hmm. So they have to do a reduction in salary. So how do you deal with the shaila of Baltolan? Do you say, okay, let's say the company has $10,000 to pay out this week, so and you have 10 workers. Do you give everybody $1,000? Or do you give, do you do pro rata, right? Where what you do is, you say, I'll take off 10% from every person's salary. How do you deal with this question? Very complicated question, and it becomes even more complicated. You know, there's a very interesting halacha in the Chavetz Chaim, by the way. The Chavetz Chaim says, I mean, it really depends if you're dealing with this question as a Baltolan question, or if you're dealing with the question as a Choiv question. If you're dealing with it as a Baltolan question, so Baltolan, you have an obligation to split the money equally. But as a Choiv question, you have an obligation to, I mean, there's a big machloikis, there's two opinions in the machaba, how you deal with it, if you call it a fi momoin, or if it's an exact, it's a very complicated cheshbon. And it's interesting, the Chavetz Chaim says, that it's be a great riddle. He says, if a person worked for you today, and a person worked for you yesterday, who do you pay first?
Today.
The person who worked for you today. But the person from yesterday, you owe the money already for 2 days.
But you're already
over there in Baltelin. The person today is Baltelin, right? So you see, these halachas get very tricky. But now, I want to talk about that one more point. That was the point that you mentioned. What happens when you have a corporation? But before the corporation, listen to this case. If you hire somebody indirectly through a second party, what would be the halacha? Can you be over in Baltelin or not? Which means, if I ask you to go hire my workers, am I oivan baltolan or not? Take a look in page number 12.
The rabbi would make his sons hire them.
So I mentioned that Gemara where in the discussion of explaining the Sefer Hasidim of how you can get out of baltolan. Okay, but now how about in the business? Does that work too? That's the question that I want to discuss now. That was a way of getting out of it. So does that really work? That in the business you can always get out of it because the owner says, "I have my worker hire everybody, so I'm never going to be oivan baltolan." Is that accurate? Can't be, right? It just doesn't sound
actually,
right.
Yes,
oh, so the Ritva asks, on our Gemara, we're about to get to that Ritva, Shlich Shlovim Kemoisai. How come the Gemara says here that a Shlich is not even Baltolin? Excellent, that's the Ritva's Kasha. Kuf Yud Aleph in Bava Metzi, in the Shita Mikibes, the Ritva asks this question, which I'm about to get to. Take a look at page number 12. Tanya Rabbanan. The Rabbanan tell us, page number 12 in the notes. Ha'oimer. Oh, that's a famous ritva. This ritva, and I'm going to show you soon a Rashi that without asking the ritva's question, the Rashi will answer your question. Okay? The Gemara tells us as follows. Tani Rabban, ha'oimer l'chaveiro, a man that says to his friend, say go out, scharli payalim, go hire for me workers. Shneim einam oivim mishim baltolin. Now neither will be over on baltolin, not the boss and not the shliach. All right. So right away you see that that there's an exception to the rule. Okay. Why? Ze lefisha loy sochron. Right. It says loy tolin pilas sochir itcha. The boss says I didn't hire you. Veze and the one that hired him lefisha ein pilas hayetzloy. He says I'm not working with you. Right. Loy tolin pilas. I have to work with you. I'm not working with you. Okay? Hey, Chadamis. Now the Gemara asks the following question. Idam luschochem alai, schori olav. Right? If he says that I'm the one that's going to pay you and he's working with him, the manager says, I have the obligation of making sure you're paid. So then he does have an obligation to pay him. The Tanya, hasoichas apoy las bishulei verei b'shechaveri, noisen lois chorei misholem, b'choiz mezun balabais, ma'ashehen oisai. Loi tzricha, what does the Gemara answer? Da'om lehu tzchorchem al bal ha bias. He says that the boss has the obligation. So again, the boss sends his worker to hire the boss. I'm sorry, I take back that word. The boss sends a shliach, because that's the lashon the Gemara says. The Gemara doesn't say a worker, to hire another person. The boss is not over because he wasn't soicher him. The worker is not over because he doesn't have the obligation to pay, and neither is Ivan Baltolan. And then the Gemara says the famous story that Alan mentioned, that when you have a situation where in order to get out of the problem of Baltolan, so you always have a person, two business people, always have somebody else go and hire the workers, and then there's no Shaila whatsoever, right? That's the Shaila that the Gemara asks. Okay. Now, so according to this, you would all tell me, wait, before I get to this, what do we do with your question? The Ritva asked the Kasha. What was the Ritva's Kasha? Shlicha shalom kamaisoi. So why is this an exception to the rule? So without giving you the Ritva's answer, I'll read to you four words in a Rashi, which Rashi addressed your question. Take a look on page 12, the Rashi, the bottom Rashi. Zeh lefi shaloi sochroi. You see what Rashi says? V'loy karina sochi gabei. What is Rashi trying to tell us? Rashi is trying to tell us that the pasuk over here, there's a limitation in this pasuk. There's a miyut. Since it says that it has to be loy tolim pi'ilas sochir itcho, sochir is a limitation that only if you hired him comes to be memayit shliach. So usually shliach shlom kemoise, Rashi tells us, except when you have a pasuk that gives you an exception to the rule. You understand? That's what Rashi is telling us clearly, that there is a miyut on shliach. So now everybody's going to tell me that in a business today, who hires the worker?
Because
you hired him. So the pasuk is memayit shliach. That's what Rashi is telling us clearly. Okay? Now, so what is everybody going to tell me now? So according to this, you can just about never be over baltolin, because you don't usually have the same person who owes the money on behalf of the company. The boss is not usually the person that's hiring. There's two different people. There's the boss is the one that really is obligated to pay the money, and the person that hires is not the person that is obligated to pay the money. The boss didn't hire him. He's not obligated to pay the money. So according to the Gemara, technically, it's patur, and there's no baltol. Right? That's what should come out from this Gemara. Comes the Chavetz Chaim and Seif Avos Chesed, and take a look what the Chavetz Chaim writes, and he ruins the fun on this one. He says, no way, this is not going to happen. Chavetz Chaim Dalet, Bamedvar Mamurim, this discussion is v'shliach ba'alma. That's a outside shliach that is not directly involved in the business. But, Aval, Mishu Apotropos, Al Nifsa Chaveiroi. You have a person that's an apotropos, and I have a right to run the business, but I don't own the business. And therefore, I go and I hire you. So, of course, I'm going to be over on Avshe Payalim. Yoyin Shem Alocha Shaloi. Even if Payalim know, Vafilu Sochem Bastama, Havakoyim Eschochem Alai Va'over Bebal Tol. Now, the Chavetz Chaim is a very specific case. The case of the Chavetz Chaim is that the worker has the right to hire and he has the right to pay. It's also important to read into the Chafetz Chaim another step, and that is that the Chafetz Chaim is basically saying to us that the concept of a person that's not Oivan Bal Tolin is a shliach. That's not, he's not part of the business. It's not Pulasei Etzlecha. He's not Sochon. But if the people are part of one business, then there would be an exception to the rule. Now, let's take a case which is possibly a bit more gray, and that's the case you have a yeshiva. You have a yeshiva, you have a board that runs the yeshiva and is technically obligated or responsible to pay the money. And then you have workers in yeshiva that hire the people. But the workers that hire the people, the principal, has no control of the money. So now who's going to be Oivan Bal Tolin? Right? It's not like a shliach, but it's sort of a gray area in between. So if you take a look at page number 13, I quote to you the Pischei Achoshen, who actually deals with this question. All right? Take a look at the second paragraph. He first quotes the Gemara, then he quotes the Chafetz Chaim that I just mentioned, and then he says in the second paragraph as follows: Shemenal Moisit, the principal of an organization, Oymifal, or of a corporation, Shemutal Olaf Tashlim Haschirois Lepayalim, he says he truthfully has the obligation. Oiver Kedin Apotropis Menich Sechaveri. He will actually be over as a apotropis, right? Like, take a look, if you skip down to the next paragraph. The Cholze begins with Shalmoisid Sheyudua, Shaapi Sheyesh Menal Machroma Moisid, Ika Achrais Habitsua Vatashlim Mutal Alamanal. These cases, even though there are owners to the corporation, but it's understood that the managers are the ones that call the shots and they make the decisions on behalf of the corporation. It's never going to happen that a vice president of a corporation is going to make a decision, and then when you come to the owner of the corporation to ask him for the money, so he'll say, I didn't make the decision, the vice president made the decision. These are officers on behalf of the company, and they have obligations. Oy hagiz ba hayoyim yoyimi. Avo ba yabayis she yesh lai pekidim hamanal es mefoli v'achroim l'soy hayoyim yoyimi. V'ika chrayis olov. How about if you have a boss? But he has people that do the hiring. But he's the one that's obligated to pay the money. So of course he has an obligation of Bal Tolin. So just to say that there's a p'tur because of it's shliach, in corporations it's not really a shliach, and even if you'll say that you'll get technical and there won't be a real case of pulosa imoy, it doesn't really patter you, you still have a obligation. Which isur will call it will be a different story, but the obligation will still exist in all of these cases. So that now, so if he has no control personally over the money, so he can't be Oivan Bal Tolin, but the person that has the control of the money, he's saying, would actually have the obligation of Bal Tolin. Now, I want to just mention one more point which he mentioned, and that in today's business world, you know, people, there's a concept, a legal term, it's called piercing the corporate veil, right? Those, what do people do? They hide behind the corporation. A corporation is something which is very interesting, because in halacha, a corporation is a relatively new concept. What is the definition of a corporation? You have money, you have a business, that who is the owner of the business? Nobody, right? It's the ear that owns the business. In the Chumash, the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch, you do not find this type of a concept at all. There's no concept that money is owned by nobody, right? And that's why there are many questions regarding ribit, regarding Shabbat, how to deal with it. The earliest Shuvot were written approximately 120, 130 years ago by the Mashag and the Erech Shai. They actually dealt, the Mariah, they dealt with the question of how to deal with a corporation. Now, when we deal with all of those Shuvot regarding a corporation, those Shuvot are more regarding liability, which means, for example, bankruptcy is something which is not acceptable according to the Torah. If you owe the money, you owe the money. However, if the money is owed by a corporation, you can possibly say that the money was owed on a condition. That's really what an LLC is. That I have, it's possibly a t'nai. It's a big discussion in the Poskim, a big disagreement. I won't go into that topic. But, however, to say that when I promise to give a person money and say I'm not over on Bal Tolin because it's not me, it's the limited liability corporation that owes the money, that's very weak. Because, as you see, we're discussing that if you're hiring a person and you're obligating yourself to pay the person, you have to pay him. Again, which shame of Bal Tolin we're going to call it, B'yoymatit and Schari, whichever we're going to call it, you know, that's good for a discussion. But in actuality, to say that because of the corporation you're not over, that's something that you can't say, and you 100% need to pay, assuming the corporation has money. If the corporation doesn't have money, that would be for another shiur, because that's a totally different topic. Okay.
And that was my question. The corporation has money, the owner or one of the
companies. It's a big discussion in the Poskim. There are those that say that, you see, bankruptcy doesn't work according to the Torah. According to the Torah, if you owe money, you owe money. However, there's a question that possibly when a corporation does a deal, it's on the condition that only the corporation has to pay. There are those that hold that way. It's a valid argument that you can't tell the person, go into your own pocket and pay for money that your corporation owes, if the corporation actually doesn't have money. Not everybody disagrees, but it's definitely a valid argument. Okay? Good. Okay, so we're done.